Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are going to get an update from Novo Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. We are joined by Quentin Henny, the president, non-executive co-chairman, as well as Mike Spreadborough, executive co-chairman at Novo Resources. Now, guys, we have been planning this interview for quite a while because, quite frankly, there have been a lot of questions that we've received personally that we have also been sent from a lot of other investors saying, look, we want answers on some of these other projects that the company holds, that the company is exploring, that the company is even going through development on, as well as answering some questions on the development front. Now, we have gone through and organized these questions as best we can. And as I mentioned, we have received a lot of questions that we can't necessarily go through them individually one by one because they deal with bigger, I guess, questions, bigger concepts at each of these projects. So what we're going to do is we've isolated the questions by project as well as some questions on ore sorting. So we're going to go through in hopefully a logical manner here. If we did not get to any of your questions that you have sent us, or if you want even more information, more elaboration on any of the answers that are provided, you can always email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will follow up with these guys in the new year and try to get a bit more clarity for some of you in terms of these questions. Now, guys, let's get right into it, starting with Beaton's Creek and the production. That's been a big story for this year, bringing Beaton's Creek into production. And unfortunately, there have been some production issues. So really, the overall concept is, how do you fix some of the grade issues and the economics with this early on mining operation here? Quentin, let's start with you in terms of the broad aspect of operational issues. Can you give us an update? Have you resolved a lot of these early on startup issues that you guys experienced at Beaton's Creek?
Yeah, look, we're going to split this answer, Corey, because it's really can be divided into two things, you know, the geology aspect around grade control and so forth, and then the operational side. And I'll let Mike address that. What I can say is, you know, overseeing the geology or helping the guys oversee geology is that things have improved dramatically over the past 2 months. We have gotten caught up largely with our grade control assays. We have a steady stream of results coming out of Intertech through the Chrysos machine. And we are able to get much, much better resolution now in areas that we're mining. And that's really critical. You know, we were kind of behind the eight ball in large for the first few months of the year. And now everybody's feeling a little more relaxed about things. The visual grade control, while it was effective at times, you know, there are some challenging areas where the bedding and complexity of the ore body is such that you really do need numbers. You need gold numbers so that you can identify the exact locations where gold occur in the stratigraphy. The team has done a fantastic job. As we watch day after day, they improve, and I think everybody's feeling very comfortable. Now, we are doing aggressive drilling in advance of future mining as well. We talked about our update plan, our optimized plans here recently, and part of that includes drilling aggressively, you know, usually 20 by 20, but even 10 by 10 meter spacing in many areas in advance of mining, and also the sulfide, the fresh rock, as we call it, the free milling fresh rock that we anticipate mining. Now, that's all coming up earlier this year. You know, part of that money we raised was earmarked for this work, and we are doing this very diligently and aggressively. And I'll turn it over to Mike to talk about the operational side.
Yeah, thanks, Quentin. So, Corey, I think the first thing is if we work backwards, the mining rates and the production or processing facility rates remain very good. We're still running at the 1.8 million ton mark, so that's really good. That's well beyond, you know, what the PEA originally said. Since we caught up last time, the tails storage facility is now complete. So that gives us 4 years runway with tails. So that's all complete and approved. So that gives us well and truly tails capacity as we mine both the oxide and the fresh. We recently put an announcement out, and you would have seen there that the November grades were very good and November production was excellent, and December is tracking very well to the guidance that we provided. So we're very happy with the way the site is coming together and the way the team's performing and how gold production's going well. As Quentin said, the key to definitely mining the Benson Creek oxide has been the closely spaced drilling. That's well advanced. The team now uses that to block out ore, choose the most higher grade ore for processing, and that change in strategy will now run all the way through until we complete the oxide, which we said in our recent announcement was around mid next year. So you'll see continued higher production coming through Beaton's Creek, the processing plant, and with that we're seeing better improved costs and also obviously revenue, which is fantastic.
Well, Mike, can you dig into that just a little bit further as far as how the economics will be impacted by, you know, having the better grades, the closely spaced drilling? I guess the question that a lot of people have is how can we reduce the dilution down some? And you kind of addressed it there, but then how does that tie into the improved economics and what can people expect as we move into Q1 2022?
Yeah, in terms of economics, Beaton's Creek is quite a simple operation in terms of mining and processing. So our cost base remains pretty static. So what drives us is the ability to achieve our gold production targets. So through the close-based drilling, as I said, the teams on site, geological and mining teams, are able to block out the ore that we want to take to the processing plant. And by tightly blocking out, that reduces the opportunity to dilute, in inverted commas, the ore that you want to take to the processing plant with non-economic or lower-grade material. So that's why you've seen the grade lifts up. So once the team have delineated the blocks, they're very tightly excavated under geological control, and that reduces any dilution or material outside of the block coming into the processing material. So that's worked very, very well. And also, as Quentin talked about, the close-based drilling is allowing the geologists to better map out the ore zones, and that allows the mining team to have a better chance of just extracting the ore rather than any waste. So all up, positive wins. It's taken a bit of a journey to really understand this ore body, but we're very happy now with performance, and you'll see that go through all the way to mid next year.
So Quentin, can you explain this ore body a little bit better for everybody, understanding that, look, there are different grades in different areas of this ore body. People are wondering why you guys aren't mining some of the higher grade ore. Can you just explain the ore body now as you guys know it?
Certainly, yeah. Look, we have a lot of data, so we're getting much better clarity. But in short, we have a stack of conglomerates. There's anywhere from, say, two or three up to six or eight in any given location. And some are higher grade. The M1, what we call the M1 and the M2 are the highest grade conglomerates. We found that out when we mined those back in July. That was what gave us very stellar numbers in, I believe it was July, I'm pretty sure. And then we've now got to strip away the other layers in that area before we can access it again. The remaining M1 and M2 at Grants Hill is fresh. We got to get those permits, but we appear to be on track with that. We're working very hard to get those in place. In the meantime, we're mining the oxide reefs. There is a bit of M1 and M2 that we're mining, but there's also the subordinate reefs that are above and below those two important resources. And from day to day, they can see grades range really from around a gram up to two grams and a bit, depending on which reef they're mining from. It's just the nature of the thing. You know, imagine mining a layer cake, then, and you know, some layers are going to be higher grade than others. That's kind of what we're dealing with here. For a month, you might have to dig through lower grade material, and then boom, you get into the higher grade material.
So guys, this question will kind of tie into some of the other projects as well, but it's not easy to ask, but some people were just wondering that, look, we're seeing a lot of difference in terms of the dilution that you are seeing while you are mining from the PEA, as well as some of the bulk sample results that we saw way back in 2018. People are wondering, can that old data, can some of that old work even be relied on anymore with some of the operational issues that you guys have had? Who wants to address this one?
Oh, look, I'll have a go. Definitely, Corey, it's a good question. So, you know, over the 2 or 3 years that Beaton's Creek's been, you know, drilled and studied, you're continually building layers on top of each other. So it's like a very nice sponge cake. You know, we're right at the top now, putting the icing and the cherries on top, because we've drilled a lot of the ore body. The previous information's been used to have a good foresight into what needs to be done next. And clearly, we now understand this ore body very well. And the 10 by 10 drilling is the key to us to be able to mine it successfully, manage that high grade delivery to the processing plant, making sure that when, you know, not mining waste. And that drilling allows the geological team to map the complexity in the ore body. So as we've gone from wider space drilling or the original trenching way back and come closer, there are some more complexity to the ore body than what you would have seen at a macro level. So it's very normal for this type of ore body that as you get into mining, you learn a lot. We've learned a lot, and we'll apply that not only to the rest of the oxide, but as Quentin talked, we're going to move into mining the fresh. We're busy doing drill outs of the fresh. We'll do a feasibility, and the learnings from the oxide will be applied to the fresh in Beaton's Creek. You know, the other side of that is that close space drilling is allowing us to identify ore that may not have been identified 2 years ago in the close space drilling. So in all at all, a very great journey that we've gone through, and the fresh is going to be a contributor to all of those new knowledge.
Okay, well, that sounds like a pretty good update at Beaton's Creek. Let's shift things over to the next project, and that is Egina. Quentin, I'll throw this one over to you. Just as a general overview, a lot of the questions we've got, and there's a lot, but just if we could group them, it's, you know, what are you doing with the basement style, hemi style, sinucoids that you're exploring? And then has that taken away from, or is that in concert with, you know, the conglomerate and, you know, that style of it? So just bring us an update on what you're doing with Egina as far as development and exploration.
Okay, certainly. Look, they're in concert. There's absolutely, hands down, no question. We're working on both. Right now, on the gravel side, we've taken bulk samples from Egina down to Nulligan. Those are going through the sorter. We're doing that test work in preparation and anticipation that we'll be able to use sorting out at in the Egina gravels. And that work's going to be very valuable. That's work that's ongoing, but it's nearly done. We'll have results early next year. I'd say the bulk of these samples have gone through. What that's going to allow us is then to develop plans around how we're going to go out and perhaps test mine initially, but then ultimately mine the gravels at Egina. I think we feel confident with what we're seeing right now in terms of the technical aspects of the project. We do have to get the heritage agreements in place to work on the broader Egina area. I'm very confident we'll get those. We've had some very constructive meetings lately, and I foresee 2022 as being very important. So in preparation, we are getting that sorting test work done so we can kind of move the gravel side of the story forward. But at the same time, we've got now the bedrock story in the sinucoids. As you mentioned, these sinucoid targets occur mainly outside of the Aboriginal Reserve, so they're up in the kind of the north and northwest part of the project area. There's a belt of these sinucoid intrusions that extends from Hemi west-southwestward onto our ground, and we have done quite a bit of work here recently doing soils and such. I think we presented some of that data a few weeks ago. We've also done geophysics, enhanced geophysics, and we're developing drill targets. We anticipate doing some drilling in there in around March, perhaps April next year. This is going to be an easier place to work because we have one Aboriginal party that needs to give us heritage clearance, and that group has agreed to do so sometime next year. So we're on track there. Egina is moving forward, and I would say it will be an increasing priority for us in 2022 as we get that sorting data back, and we know how that kind of that project can or that data can impact that project, which again, I think is going to be very positive. But then also this drilling that we're going to do at Hemi, I think is going to be a very seminal moment for us because that's the first time we've tested any basement targets.
Okay, so really a two-pronged approach then still at Edge. And just to simplify, Mike, I'll ask you, are you guys able to use the ore sorters at this project? There seems to be some confusion right now.
Yeah, eventually, as Quinn has said, once we complete the test program that we're doing now at Nullagon, and I'll talk about that in a bit of detail in a sec, but once we complete that, understand the results, we'll be able to work with the Western Australian government to be able to move the ore sorter to Egina and go mining. The approvals aren't seen as a big issue. You know, one of the big advantages of ore sorting is environmentally, it doesn't provide a large footprint. We don't need to use, you know, hydrocarbons. We don't need to clear a lot of vegetation, no chemicals. So all up, it'll be very, it won't be easy, but it'll be a process that we'll go through with government with no roadblocks eventually. But I think, as I said, the important thing is at the moment, the ore sorter that we've purchased from Steinhardt is now at Nullagon. It's all been put together and we are running through those samples from 9 different deposits around the Pilbara. Egina is one of those. We're doing some more test work on Beats Creek. We're doing some more test work on Comet Well and Purdy's, Talga Talga, all of those deposits and their bulk samples we're putting through that facility. As Quentin said, we should see the results of those in late January, early February. Once that's done, the first priority for the ore sorting facility, and jump on the website, listeners, you'll see a good video of a drone footage of that facility up and running there at Nullagon. You know, that facility we're going to pack up and truck it across the Pilbara to our Karratha Gold Project at Comet Well, and we hope by mid-year that we'll be putting through a 20,000-tonne test parcel that we have approval to do. So that's well and truly running on track as we talked about earlier this year in one of our releases.
So Mike, have you guys had many issues with ore sorting? It seems like there's a lot of confusion around just what the ore sorters are doing and if they're being successful. So just summarize that. Any other issues that you've faced?
So look, we all sit back and wait for the final results, but as we've seen, the phase one test results has been fantastic at Comet Well. As Quentin said, we've just seen the Comet Well phase two material go through the ore sorter, and then we wait on the results. For listeners, once we complete the ore sorting, the material is actually parceled up and we put it into the back of the Nullagon processing plant through the Acacia and the Gold Room to produce some gold, and we use that to do, you know, the ore balance or the mineralized balance on what we put in the ore sorter to what we make. So that test work, as we said, January, February. At the moment, it looks very good, but we need the final results. And then for Comet Well, straight away off into the Pilbara to really go and do this 20,000 ton parcel. And from that, we can make the final decisions to going into production in Comet Well late 2023.
Okay, and before we leave Egina, Quentin, if you could address the Hemi-style drilling, those sinucatoids. There's some of your neighbors that have done some promising work down in that basement rock, but just explain to people why it's important and what that could mean from a geological standpoint.
Yeah, certainly. Look, Hemi, which is a discovery made about 2 years ago by De Grey, is a brand new gold discovery that's part of this broader Malana Shear Zone. It's a structural zone in the older basement rocks that cuts kind of west, southwest, and east, northeast across the region. And it's got a number of deposits, but this Hemi discovery was, you know, absolutely hands down the mothership. This thing is proving to be very large. I think the resource is on the order of, I think it's around 8 or 9 million ounces at present. Now, the piece of the structural zone that we are focused on is also quite critical. If you look at the geophysics, we have a number of these sinucatoid, the geophysical, the magnetics tell us we have likely sinucatoids on our ground. So we're very hopeful that once we drill these things, especially given the fact that we see evidence in the soils and other data, that there is really strong geochemistry there, we are hopeful that we'll make similar discoveries to what De Grey has. Now, you might be alluding to exploration elsewhere in the region, the West Pilbara region, And I will kind of segue right now just to make sure we cover this. Look, we have a block of ground over nearer to Karratha, which is adjacent to two current active drill programs. One is by a company called Azure, I believe it's Azure Resources, that have made a nickel copper discovery. And then next door to the west, we have Artemis, which has been expanding, in fact, rapidly expanding their Carlo Castle deposit. In fact, it looks like those two systems somehow link together. I'm not sure how, but lo and behold, we've got the ground in between. And what we've done here recently is we've done a lot of soils and other work in the field that's telling us that we have a very important part of that overall system. We see strong copper. We see strong nickel. We see in the field evidence of sulfide mineralization that's weathered, but is very similar in appearance to the stuff on either side of us. So we're delighted to see to be part of that picture. It's really just simply fortuitous, but it is an important picture for us. I would encourage people to go to a news release a couple of weeks ago to learn a little bit more about that. It's called Southport.
All right. That news release, yeah, came out November 30th, as you mentioned, deals with some more of the exploration aspects. But as you said, Quentin, fortuitous that these discoveries are being made. Also, just a sign that the company does hold a lot of land in prospective areas, and that's just what happens when you hold this land. Let's transition over to the now called Karratha Gold Project. This encompasses Comet Well and Purdy's Reward. We need to start off with one of the main questions is, are you guys having trouble with permitting at this broad Karratha Gold Project? Quentin, you want to take that?
The simple question is, no, we have not had trouble permitting. We've got we've worked on agreements with the natives in this area, and they're quite agreeable. We don't anticipate any impediments, if you will, with the mines department, because basically it's a pretty simple operation, this test phase that we're going to go through. Permitting is a long lead time item in Australia right now. Everybody's extremely busy and trying to get the attention of permitters and regulators. You have to be very judicious and patient and so forth, but we don't see any problem at all.
Well, just following up on this, on the Karratha projects, Mike, you know, I know that the plan is to do a bulk sample. So for people that are maybe new to the story or don't fully understand what the plan is at Karratha, walk us through what the plan is with that large bulk sample and how that ties into building a JORC resource and how that's traditionally done with drilling, but in this case, it'll be done with bulk sampling.
Yeah, so if you go back to where we are actually with the Comet Well mineralization, we have a very good understanding of where the gold loads are. We probably don't need to do too much extra drilling to really firm that up. So the next challenge is just to understand the ore sorting recovery. You know, as we take a ton of material out of the loads, how will the ore sorter perform and how much gold will it produce at the back end? And for those that aren't aware, you know, the ore sorting facility, as I said before, if you get onto the video, you can see that there might be one, two, three, four, five of these eventually in production. Well, once the high-grade gold concentrate is produced at the end of the ore sorter, we'll then parcel that up and truck it across the Pilbara to our Nullagine mill, and that's where it goes through the final processing into gold doro. So at the moment, the next question mark for us is how the ore sorter will work in production mode, throughput, you know, final cost data, but also gold recovery. So that's the test work program aimed for the middle of next year. Once that work's completed, we'll be able to use that data for two things: make a final selection on how many ore sorters we would like in that area. And from that information, we can then complete the approval process with the mining department of Western Australia, which Quentin talked about. So this bulk trial of about 20,000 tonnes is very important to get the final parameters to allow us to go in production in late 23. We don't see any real issues with the mining approvals. We just can't tell the mines department in West Australia at the moment the size of our facility and, you know, the throughput and how much digging rates we'll have and the number of people and all of those things you need to be able to tell them. But we'll be in a good position, September next year to start putting in the approvals process for us to go into production in Commonwealth.
So, Mike, how does this Jorick resource fit into this whole process?
Yeah, for the mines department, look, in West Australia, they don't really need a Jork resource. You know, Quentin and I would like to have some resource. We're not really particularly fussed on whether it passes a Jork test or not. You know, as in our roles, we're very keen on how long the production front will be, how much gold will produce, the economics of that. So the mines department don't need a Jork resource, but they will need to see some life of mine production plan and, you know, how long we'll be there. And very important now in West Australia is how we'll kind of complete mining and do closure planning and all of those important things.
So, Quentin, one final question here then when it comes to that Karratha Gold project. How do you want investors to view this project? Is this a development project that you now just need to go through the necessary steps, albeit still, I guess, fairly early on because you don't have that Jorick resource?
Yeah, look, I think what Mike was saying earlier is that we would love to have a Jorick resource, or in really it's a 43-101 resource because we're Canadian. Look, we are quite content to proceed with the models that we have right now. What does that mean? Well, we have 3D models of the conglomerate bed, so we know very well from all the drilling we did a couple of years ago where those beds are, and we can target them in a mine. Okay, now the other aspect of this is, how do we get the gold out? Okay, can we quantify it? It's going to be a challenge. Therefore, putting a 43-101 resource around this would be extremely difficult, but we do have very high confidence from the bulk sampling that we did in 2018 and even some more recent work, like these bulk samples that we've dug up and they're putting through the sorter over at Nelligan. We have very high confidence that these conglomerate beds deliver gold. Okay, so we want to treat this as a development project at this point. It does take some technical advancement around mechanical sorting, but like I said, we're very optimistic with the results we've seen so far out of the sorters that will be achievable, that we can produce a high-grade concentrate from crushing and sorting the conglomerate mineralization out of Karratha, out of Commonwealth and Purdy's Reward. Okay, once we get past that, yes, we have to do a test phase. That'll be next year. Permitting is not an issue. We've addressed that. The next step after that, if that's successful, we will move into a mining stage. And like Mike said, how big will that be? We don't know yet, but I expect that we would, you know, ideally we'd have multiple machines deployed in the field at Karratha producing high-grade concentrate. Now, what do we do with the high-grade concentrate? Well, guess what? We own a mill over in the eastern Pilbara at Nelligan now. So we have a means of treating and processing the gold out of a concentrate. So that is the picture. Hopefully that kind of resets the tone for everyone listening here, and they understand if there's further questions, we will get back on and do another interview. Now, there's one thing I want to talk about, though, Corey, before we end this, and that is our exploration over at Nelligan. If we have a couple minutes here, I'd like to address that because I do not want to leave that out of this picture. It's absolutely critical for us to explore aggressively around Nelligan. We've got a very robust budget. We're doing a lot of drilling right now. In fact, we're drilling clear up till Christmas at Parnell. We've got around 15,000 meters planned at Parnell. Why? Because we feel very confident we're onto a very sizable bedrock gold system there that can be advanced fairly quickly and brought into the production stream, or the production picture, I should say, at Nelligan. That's one area. Now, Genie, we talked about some results, I think around 2 months ago out of Genie. We had some very nice near-surface oxide results out of Genie, and we've now done a lot more drilling there. Again, we have a lot of results coming back. I think people will open their eyes and see that we have yet another very high quality near production system right there, and it's only 3 kilometers from the mill. We are drilling other targets too. We have about a half a dozen other targets across the Nelligan Goldfield that are all going to see drilling over the next few months, and we do fully intend to build up a mine life around the Nulligan Center there, the Nulligan Gold Project, for many years to come.
Well, Quentin, as far as the Karratha properties, we mostly focus on Comet as well and Purdy's Reward, but are there any other exciting targets or targets that are going to get exploration work in 2022?
Well, the this nickel cobalt, or sorry, nickel copper cobalt system that I just talked about will be important for us. We talked a little bit about it a couple weeks ago, and we've done quite a bit of work since then to expand on that. And we now have soils over a bigger area. We'll talk more about that sometime early next year. But we anticipate that will likely be a drill target for us. That's it's a bit different, obviously, than the conglomerates, but it is looking very, very important for us. So that would be the significant addition.
Yeah, and I'll just jump in there that listeners can jump on the website, and there's a great video there that was recently done by Kaz DeLuca, our GM of geology, on that prospect and the potential. So recommend people have a good listen.
Well, Mike, just as we start wrapping up here, from a high-level perspective, when people look at Novo Resources, I'd like to know what the main takeaway you'd like investor to have as far as how to value it, because you have the production story at Beaton's Creek, you have two development stories at the Karratha properties and at Egina, and you have all this exploration work. So sometimes it's hard for people to value, how do I value Novo Resources? In addition, you have those strategic stakes in other companies. So what would you like investors to have as the takeaway as how they view Novo Resources?
Well, I think there's we've got two very good streams. We do have huge ground in the Pilbara, and I think as we've seen in the last 6 months, that work is maturing and is now heading to drill targets. So as Quentin said, you know, next year you're going to see us drilling in the western part of the Pilbara in some nickel targets around Egina and some gold basement targets. We'll continue drilling the conglomerate targets that we have, and we're doing lots of drilling around Nullagine for kind of near on or near Milfi. So that's a huge amount of potential for us to grow the business, and we are very focused on finding deposits that we can turn into cash flow. We do have a very good processing plant. It's very modern. It's very simple. It works at low cost. So we are very focused on looking for projects within our Pilbara. And we haven't even touched the drilling that we announced the other day that's starting in Victoria at Malmesbury. So number one, for all investors, we have an extremely large, high-value, tier-one exploration portfolio. And you only need to pick up a map and look at other ASX-listed companies. Quentin's talked about Azura and their great nickel drilling, which is adjacent to us. He's talked about a Hemi project, which has been drilled out and is heading to a PFS, huge gold ounces there. The Calidus project is just north of us. It'll go into production early next year. And just south of us is the Capricorn Gold Project. So there is a lot of potential in that area. So that's clearly the main takeaway. But as we've seen with Beats Creek, we can take projects from exploration all the way through to operations and turn it into cash flow. And being a first mover into the conglomerates, into the Pilbara, yes, we've learned a lot. There's probably a lot of things we would have liked to have known 2 years ago, but we've been able to work forwards and come up with a profitable operation, and that'll be good stead for us as we really optimise other conglomerates, especially with our focus on mechanical sorting and the ability to upgrade projects and truck them long distances back to a mill. So I think they're the key takeaways. Next year, first part, it's very busy. There'll be more results on our exploration drilling, the ore sorting test work results. So it's going to be a very busy first 6 months.
All right, guys, really appreciate this update. I hope this answers a lot of those questions that were out there. And as I mentioned, please continue to email us with your questions, and we will do our best to get those answered in a timely fashion. Look, as promised, this was a bit of a longer interview, but we did cover a lot of ground here, and that's simply because this company holds a lot of projects, and there's work going on at really all of them, and then around a lot of them as well. So lots on tap for 2022, and full disclosure, Shad and myself are shareholders of Novo Resources. Quentin, Mike, again, thank you very much for your time, guys. I hope you both have a very happy holiday season.
Thank you very much.